Welcome to tonight's Saturday Night Special, episode 79.
I'm Stephanie Scheller. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and create your greatest impact on the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Grow yourself, be inspired, listen to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with Scott Mader. If I had been a boss and done to someone else what I did to myself, like there would have been like a legal battle. Like I was the boss who would call myself and be like, I know you're not feeling well, but can you knock this out real quick? That's who I was to myself. And until I learned to manage myself and take care of myself, it was very difficult for me to manage and take care of my people.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world. In tonight's Saturday Night Special, I asked Stephanie to share how her business has both stayed the same and changed in this age of COVID. I also asked her to share with you the psychology of marketing and sales. And Stephanie then goes on to share some of her best tips on leading and building influence, even in a time like this. You know, one area that a lot of folks need some help with is around the area of productivity. Getting not just more things done, but actually getting the right things done can be really tough. I've got a course called Productivity for Your Passion that's designed to help you do this and then to hold you accountable and walk with you so that you can tailor productivity not just to be getting more done, but actually getting the right things done. What's more, we take the approach of looking at your personality and how you actually look at things in the world and tailor the productivity system to your personality. Because the truth is, a lot of the systems that are out there are written really well for somebody with a particular personality type, but if you have a different approach to things, they just don't work. But there's tools and techniques and approaches that you can take that will work for anyone. And we help you do that in Productivity for Your Passion. Check it out over at inspiredstewardship.com/launch. Stephanie Scheller has been running her sales and marketing business since 2014. Stephanie also started the Grow Impact Conference in 2016 as the premier in-person event focusing on empowering small business owners to thrive personally and professionally through her company, Grow Disrupt. Stephanie is also an active speaker who has spoken on these topics on many stages, radio shows, and podcasts over the years, including a TEDx talk in 2017. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Hey, wait, I was about to say welcome back. Thank you. I'm super excited to be here, clearly.
It is the end of we are recording this on the last day of 2020, so you can tell that is how this year has gone. It has been a week. I know you're deep in preparation. Thank you for jumping on. You've got the Grow Retreat coming up at the end of January. You're in the midst of a rework on brand and a lot of stuff going on. So I really do appreciate you jumping on with me to record this for the listeners. So with the Grow Retreat, you're doing a live in-person event. And what's different this year? You've been doing it for a few years now, and I'm not talking about with COVID. I know you're taking care of the safety and the security and all of that part, but What are you focused on? What's different for business owners that's come out of this year of 2020?
So one of the things that I've really noticed that has come out of this year, 2020, for small business owners is that there is opportunity, and especially for small businesses. So you think about what makes a small business owner successful, what makes them great, what gives us an edge over the big businesses, because the big businesses can outprice us every single day of the week, but they are not as agile as we are. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was that when everything started happening in 2020, small business owners who adjusted, who said, ah, this is the direction that the world is going. I'm going to make these tweaks. We're going to adjust. Look, everyone I know who had a good year went through absolute HE double hockey sticks, setting it up and make it like they went through some craziness when they were making that adjustment because they said, oh, okay, hey, the world is adjusting. We got to adjust real quick too. And they've gone through some craziness to make those adjustments. But because they can, because they could do it before big businesses could implement that stuff, they were able to take advantage of it. So one of the things we've really focused on, and it really is interesting because we choose our themes, usually we're choosing our themes about a year in advance. And we chose the theme impact at the end of 2018. And so for our theme to be impact coming into 2020. And so all year long, I've been talking about impact and how you create an impact and how do you create an impact. And so to be talking about that in the year that has just impacted everyone.
Oh, impact. Okay, I got that.
Right. Like we were like, oh, okay, I'm impacting. Right. And so it became this, hey, let's create impact from an intentional perspective, right? How do we make the most impact with our marketing? How do we make the most impact with our business? We all have these ripple effects that happen. When you're a small business owner, there's a ripple effect, right? You're impacting, yes, your family, but your employees, your contractors, they go home and they're happier living their life because they get to work for you. That's an incredible opportunity. And we didn't talk about legacy or anything, but when a lot of small business owners, that's what they're thinking of is my legacy. And that's what it is. So that's really our focus for this year. All of our speakers are circling around. And you got to keep in mind, like for the Grow Retreat, our attendees are high performing business owners. So we're not giving anyone the keys to the city and how do we rewrite your business. What we've brought in are speakers who are going to give you that 2-5% change you can make that's going to massively increase your impact. So that is our focus for this year.
And a couple of things jump to mind with that. One is, you know, what you said about agile and small business owners. My joke, because I've done corporate work and I've done corporate training, and even as a coach and a consultant, I've gone into the 5,000 employee training things and all of that. And now I focus on small business and I jokingly say I like 5 or fewer employees. It's a joke and it's not.
Right.
The reason why is because when I work with a small business owner, we can make a decision on Monday. We can begin to implement it on Wednesday and we can see results on Friday.
Right.
Where with corporate, it's you're lucky if you even get the first meeting by Friday.
Right. It's like, let me present my idea to my boss, who's going to present it to his boss, who's then going to set up for me to come in to speak at the board meeting in 3 months.
And then we will form a committee.
Right.
To meet with you to figure out. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and a year later, we've done something. So it is that agility. That is it's a strength of small business. At the same time, obviously not everyone's business has done great this year. There's still been people struggling, but I think that ability to make that pivot, that's interesting that by good fortune, and I put that in air quotes because I don't think it's ever luck. Y'all were focusing on that right at the time when I think so many business owners are needing it.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, if that's the thing that you're focusing on and that's what's different this year, what has stayed the same for the small business owners that you work with and this year versus years in the past?
What's stayed the same is the need for connection and the need for connection is probably the best word to sum it up. What's been interesting is how that's been pushed to the forefront. And again, funny, right? We chose our theme for the 2022 retreat months and months ago, actually almost 8 months ago. So right when everything started going down, we actually had already chosen our theme for the 2022 retreat. And of course, we unveiled that theme at the Grow Retreat just a few weeks ago, and that was Connect. And so I find it very interesting that we've managed to, like I've got some kind of sixth sense here, see what is it that we need to push to the forefront for small business owners and keep bringing that. Because I think when it comes down to it, it's being able to continue connecting with your employees, with your vendors, with your contractors, and then most importantly, with your clients. And this is something that I think small business owners who misunderstood how important it is to stay connected to their clients really missed out on the opportunity to grow this year, because what happened was all of these clients needed stuff, but they were too overwhelmed to figure out how to reach out. And so where a lot of businesses thrived was when they were the ones who were able to reach out and say, hey, if you're experiencing XYZ, I can help you. And then people were like, oh my God, thank you so much, because I'm so overwhelmed.
I needed that and I didn't even know how to ask for it.
And so it's really, as we're talking, I'm like piecing this together. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what happened. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There are no coincidences. And I think that's important because, again, the retreat that y'all do, I know y'all do a lot around what amounts to masterminds and ways that business owners can connect. And like you said, that you can bring in high-performing business owners. That doesn't necessarily mean they're doing exactly the same business, but they're all have that mindset of being a high performing business owner. Let them connect with each other and learn from each other. I think that there's tremendous value in that ability. It's one of the reasons, personal pet peeve, but I'm going to get on the soapbox about it. Everyone keeps using the term social distancing. I'm like, no, let's do physical distancing, not social distancing. We need the social connection now more than ever. We just need to be physically separated right now. You know, it's not the same thing.
So there's got to be some way to connect.
There's got to be a way to connect.
And that has been a consistent theme for business. What has been interesting is seeing that shift over the past, I would say maybe 10, 15 years, is that has been where the shift has gone, is creating smaller connections. The word is jumping, communities. There we go. Yep. I knew it was another C word, but creating communities. And that's really seems to be the direction that business is going as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so when you ask me what hasn't changed, that hasn't changed. That's had to be a focus for years now. And that just got pushed to the forefront in all the craziness of 2020.
So I know you've been talking a lot about the psychology of business, the mindset behind business, when it comes to sales, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to, you know, HR, people stuff and leadership, management, different things, but all of those sorts of things. Can you talk a little bit about these ideas from that perspective of psychology of business, the internal structure of business? And maybe share a little bit more of what you've seen as you've been working with these high-performing business owners.
Yeah. So what was interesting to me was the psychology of business. I've been obsessed with psychology since college, really even since high school, right? You hear these stories of people doing marketing campaigns and influencing people to make purchases and buy stuff that they weren't going to buy otherwise. And so I was always like, very intrigued and drawn in. I'm like, how do you influence someone to do something that they didn't necessarily want to do? And part of this, I've always been a bit of a control freak, right? So a big part of this was like, I don't want someone to be able to influence me without...
So you wanted to learn about it, to arm yourself against it.
Right. So I started to dig into this whole psychology thing. And what was really cool was as I started to really dig into the psychology of marketing and how does marketing work and why does it work? And let's approach this from a basic human perspective. What is the brain thinking when it sees your marketing? And if it's not thinking anything, why? This is really important. These are the things we have to figure out. And what was cool was as I dug in on this psychology of marketing concept, I realized like the reason so many small business owners struggle, you can give two small business owners the same information. I could put two small business owners in the room at the Grow Retreat. One of them could end up taking off with it. Now, this wouldn't happen because of the way we designed the Grow Retreat, but at an event, right? Give them both the same information. One of them takes off with it, turns it into $1 million. One of them does nothing. And the difference, the reason that we so often end up, because you think about how many small business owners read the same books. Mm-hmm. And yet these guys are blowing and going and these guys aren't. Like, what's the difference? And a lot of it is psychology, how it's presented and how it's absorbed by the individual. And so when I started to realize, I said, okay, if I want to increase my impact as a small business owner, at the time I was doing a lot of coaching. I don't do coaching anymore, but at the time I was doing all of this coaching, and I said, I can work with two business owners and get massive results here and trickle here. What's going on? And I realized it was how I was presenting it, how I was connecting with that person's brain, the way they were processing the world. Mm-hmm. So that was when I said, okay, I need to dig into the psychology. This is what matters, is understanding how do I present information in a way that someone is best able to absorb. And the more I did it, the more I realized, okay, we need to be able to do this for sales, because sales is all about psychology. It's how do you show someone that your program, your product is the best option for them? How do we do this for marketing? And then how do we do it for people management? You want to bring out the best in your people, be able to connect with them, communicate with them in a way that resonates. And so that was where this whole like psychology of business really came from, was that's the whole story. But now I've realized there's so much impact you can create if you just understand the why behind how people operate.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of it's, you know, understanding, because even there's levels there, because first you have to understand your own psychology and the way you are perceiving the world. If you don't understand that, then it really doesn't matter if you understand other people, because
you just hit the nail on the head, man.
The self-awareness is the beginning, and I won't name any public figures, but some people can think of various ones that might come to mind as examples of not being really self-aware. And there's more than one. So that's not a unilateral statement. Right. But on the other hand, you see it, the next level then is now understanding other people. And then of course the third level piece is now, once you understand those two things, how do you then modify to communicate? And I think that's one of the things that's changed in marketing, is a lot of times marketing used to be blanket broadcast marketing, same message sent out to everyone. Now, what you're seeing that's changing is becoming a little bit more, getting back to agility, that ability to tailor things and create communities, like you said, where you're hearing a message that is tailored into you.
It has to be. So if you think about this, like, it's funny, I was watching I don't know why I can't think of words today. But a series on TV, The Foods That Built America. And they were talking about Heinz ketchup and how Heinz ketchup's marketing campaign was being in a glass bottle. That was what they did. And then they had 57. They were trying to insinuate that it had been 57 iterations of the recipe. And they have like some TV ads they threw out there. Like, if that's all you do to differentiate yourself now, your business isn't going to survive, because the market has gotten so much more crowded. See, back then, Heinz was trying to stand out from what, maybe 50 other people? Like, maybe. And now you produce a jam, a jelly, a sauce, or somebody, you're trying to stand out against thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of options. So your marketing has to get more granular. Because you have to, there's too many messages out there. People are more overwhelmed than ever. This year has been picture perfect proof of that, that you have to get great. You have to design the message for that person. This is why we say again and again, that if you want to grow your business, start small, focus on a small niche. It will allow you, you can spread your wings, but you will struggle for years to try and encompass everybody. If you start big, start small, own this little section, and you can spread out easily from there. Mm-hmm.
So when we think about small business, and you think about small business owners, and we're talking here about marketing, we're talking about influencing other people, whether it's within your company, HR management, whether it's outside of your company, looking at your clients, your customers, and these sorts of folks or prospects. Yeah. When we think about those sorts of skills, I think the umbrella term for it is leadership. But one of the things I've learned over the years is people use that word, but we all mean different things by that word. So I've learned to ask, how would you define, when it comes to what as leadership for a small business owner, how would you actually define that term?
And it's funny you ask this, because when I was starting the business, I'd gotten the business off the ground and turned it into my full-time job. I was working the business. I was about a year in. So we'd actually built a pretty substantial, I was still figuring things out. I hadn't made my first hire yet. I didn't want to hire. I was all sorts of, you talked about get to know yourself first. There was a lot of getting to know Stephanie.
You said earlier you're a control freak. I'm not going to suggest, but maybe those two things were slightly connected to each other.
Just a little bit. Perhaps. But someone mentioned to me, he's a leadership coach, and he said, Stephanie, you realize you are a leader. And I didn't get it because I was like, dude, I don't have a team. Mm-hmm. I don't have employees. I don't even have contractors. It's literally just me. Like, I don't get what, I didn't understand what he meant. And what I've come to realize is that leadership is very simply the ability, and I'm going to come back to my favorite word here, being who I am, I got to talk about this. Leadership is very simply the impact you have on people's lives. As a business owner, you are putting back into the community, right? You're recruiting, you're bringing in funds, you're spending money. That's one of the things that I have to admit just made me feel, give me the most feel-good feeling about the Grow Retreat this year, was being able to go to venues, to hotels, to catering companies who have had really miserable years and bring them a pretty freaking large order. That was just the best freaking part. But that ability to give back, to make an impact in the community. And then as I started bringing on team members to make it, tell a story and of one particular member of my team who, when they started working for me, they were working part-time for me, part-time for someone else, very unhappy. They were in a relationship that they were very unhappy with. And this person's been with me for a little while now and has just, the metamorphosis has been amazing to see this person be able to walk away from the job and the relationship that they hated, to see this person be able to spread their wings and start doing the things with their life that they love and build a family that they enjoy being part of. That's leadership. That's impact. And we do that every day as a small business.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you have a team or not either. You're still a leader.
No, you're still, yeah. Like that was when I started to realize that I was, one, I had to lead myself, but two, there were people watching me that I was influencing, that when they engaged with me, I was then changing the trajectory of their day. We've all heard like the story of like, just smile. You can change someone's whole day. That's leadership right there. You're changing someone's life just by having you in it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of circle back to something you've mentioned earlier, that term of when a small business owner is dealing with things, they're thinking a lot of times about legacy and the future and what do they leave behind. If somebody really does want to leave a legacy behind, my way of calling it is leaving a dent in the universe, whatever that looks like for you. What are some of the top principles that you think business owners need to learn if they're going to really do that, make a dent in the universe, whatever that means for them?
So I may be slightly biased with this answer, being as I am the impact coach, the impact guide, talking about the psychology of sales, marketing, and people management. But I really think if you want to make a dent in the universe, you've got to learn marketing, you have to learn sales, and you have to learn how to manage people. And very simply put, you have to learn how to, marketing matters because you have to be able to communicate your ideas in a way that gets people excited about being on board. You have to be able to sell because once they're excited about coming on board, you have to actually be able to bring them on board, convince them to take that leap. Because just because someone's excited, have you ever seen a dog or even a kid, right? Think about a kid at the edge of the pool, like wanting to jump into dad's arms. They're excited. Like they're standing there. They're like, like they're tippy tapping.
But they're not jumping.
They're scared to make the leap. That's the same, right? You got them excited about jumping in. That's marketing. Sales is getting them to make the leap. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to do both. If you can't get them excited, it doesn't care. I don't care how good you are getting them to like be make the leap. They're not going to make the leap if they don't want to do it. Yeah. So you got to be able to do both. And then you have to be able to manage people, because what is going to happen is, first of all, you have to be able to manage yourself. And I've been very transparent about the fact that I was my worst boss. Like I was the worst boss I ever had. I was like, if I had been a boss and done to someone else what I did to myself, like there would have been like a legal battle. Like I was the boss who would call myself and be like, I know you're not feeling well, but can you knock this out real quick? That's who I was to myself. And until I learned to manage myself and take care of myself, it was very difficult for me to manage and take care of my people, which seriously stunted our ability to grow. We had really massive growth in 2020, really massive growth that is the kind of growth we've been talking about wanting for years and years, but we never had until we got all the pieces laid out and I had a team that could actually help manage that growth to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So you want to make a dent in the universe, learn how to get people excited about what you're doing, learn how to convince them to come on board, and then learn how to take care of them once they are on board.
Mm-hmm. And the last part, again, that's both if you want to scale by building a team, but it also could just be your client, your customers that you're taking care of too. Even if you're a solopreneur, this still applies.
And even if you're a nonprofit or you don't want a team or you're an employee, if you're listening, the ability to bring people on board with your idea and then take care of them once
there's sales and marketing inside a company too, if you're an employee.
Right? 100%. But that's the key. That's the I don't know why all the words are jumping out of my head today.
It's the last day of 2020.
I'm out of words for the year. That's what it is.
You used up your last word.
All right. I figured it out now. Okay.
But, and actually, let's go back to that. Thinking of as an employee, because one of the mindsets, I worked with folks that are in companies. Most of the time when I'm working with someone, they have a side project or they have a passion project or they would like to transition into doing their own business or they already are doing their own business. But still, they're in that transition period. And I've always tried to encourage the idea of if you're, quote, an employee, still have the mindset of being self-employed. Mm-hmm. In terms of you still have to own your own whatever it is inside that company, just as surely as if you were self-employed, the same skills that you're talking about, learning to manage yourself, learning to communicate well, learning to understand how other people work, doesn't matter whether you're the CEO, the line worker, or the self-employed person, those skills universally work.
100%. And if you can develop those, what's cool is the door is open. That is the key to whatever you want. Mm-hmm. When you start to build that internal locus of control, not to throw out too many psych terms here, but the internal locus of control says that I am in control of what happens in my life. Yeah. That yes, stuff happens around me. The dude ahead of me got into a car accident and now I'm late for work. I couldn't control that, but I can control what time I leave for work in the morning. I can control how frustrated I get and whether or not I'm sitting here in the car calling someone and getting stuff moving while I'm on the way to the office. There's a lot that I can control. And when you develop this perspective of, hey, I'm going to be that person who takes ownership, who understands that I do have the ability to own my life. And I'm going to produce the best I possibly can for my department, for my role, for my whatever. You start to open doors. People notice. They do. And it is, I hate to say this word because it's kind of cliche, but it's life-changing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So now for the easy question, he says sarcastically.
If
you could travel, this is the softball question. It's never the softball question, but if you could travel into the far future, let's say you could just be teleported forward in time, 100 years, 150 years from now, and you could look back on your life, what impact do you hope you've had on the world? You're the impact person, so you better give a good answer to this one.
I think of the best. So what I would love, I was texting with someone the other day. And they said to me, Steph, I love my boss. I've never had as much respect for a boss as I've had for this one. They make coming to work fun. And when you're dealing with something like that, someone who's gone from hating going to work, work is two-thirds of your life. Mm-hmm. 66% of your life will be spent at work. That's too much of your life to hate it. Like people climb mountains to talk to gurus to find out what the meaning of life, I'm going to break it down for you, is to live. Be here in the moment. Live your best life. Make your greatest impact. Do what you are here on this earth to do. And what I would love is that however many years, 100 years, 200 years in the future, the business landscape has shifted. where businesses take care of their employees. Their employees love coming to work. And when they reach a point of not loving, they go find a job they do love. And it's not frowned upon. It's not looked down on. But that, yes, businesses are thriving and successful and profitable, but they're taking care of their people. They're not taking advantage of them. They're this whole concept of turning a profit at the expense of someone else. I would love to see that as much as, this is a little idealistic, eliminated as much as possible. That you can run a successful, profitable business that pays your people, that gives back to your community. And it doesn't have to be a $1 billion business. You can run a $1 million business. You can run a $500,000 business that pays your people well, that gives back to your community, and that your people love coming to work at. Because when your people love coming to work, that spreads to their whole life. Now they're not coming home from work and pissed off and angry and yelling at their family and kicking the dog. They're coming home from work and they love their life. That's what I would love to see, is that a job is not just a job, that it's part of that fulfillment that we find.
Mm. Part of that, I think, too, that is interesting to hear is, as you said, that's, we spend so much of our time at work, and yet for so many of us, work is a four-letter word. It seems like culturally we have this expectation that you are supposed to hate your job.
Yeah.
It's supposed to suck.
Like, you're all standing around the barbecue complaining and sipping your beer and so mad about why it's not whatever.
I can't believe my boss did whatever.
Yeah. Right. And if you don't have a story to one up this guy's story, you're the odd man out.
Right.
It's not a healthy mindset.
Well, and that was because I've been asked, because I left a corporate job, very secure, very nice job, very well treated. You know, everything, it wasn't a perfect job. There's no such thing as a perfect job because there's people in them. If I ever found the perfect place to work, they wouldn't hire me. That's the truth. But the truth is, and then I went and launched my own business and people are like, oh, you must have hated your job. And I'm like, no, actually, I really enjoyed my job. I really loved it. I loved a lot of the people I worked with. There were things that weren't perfect about my job, but I loved my job. It wasn't because I hated my job that I left it. It's because there was something else that I felt called to do and more connected to do. So it wasn't, this is bad. There was a moment of, this I think is better.
Yeah.
But something doesn't have to be bad for something else to be better. And I think we look at it weird.
And that's the thing I think people need. That's what I would love people to recognize. Like, we go through stages in our lives where maybe this job was great for you at this stage and it gave you fulfillment at this stage, but it's not there anymore. And it's not a failing of the company, unless the company, then that is an issue. But as long as, like, if the company was taking care of you, was taking care of the company and was taking care of their community, then it's not a problem in the company. It's not a shortcoming in the company and it's not a shortcoming for you. Mm-hmm. Where it does become a problem is when you end up in a situation like I ended up in, where the company you were working for is refusing to pay your commission check. That's when the company
is not healthy.
Care of the company or their employees. But that's a different, there's no reason you have to hate your job to leave it. There may just be something bigger calling you.
Well, and if you do hate your job and that's why you're leaving it, there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just, hopefully they'll learn. But that doesn't have to be that way. Because I think you're right. I think there's almost this feeling of, if I don't have a story about how much my job stinks, then somehow or another, I'm not a good person or good employee something.
Yeah.
I'm out of the circle.
It blows my mind. And we'll get into that all the time, that one-upmanship. My husband likes to laugh because my family, we do it like almost automatically. It'll be like, you had this happen? Let me tell you. And we're not usually like trading like horror work story. Usually it's like horror, like I broke my ankle. Oh, you broke your ankle. I broke all of my toes and my ankle and my knee. Like, we're so bad. But we're built this inherent and we are programmed to feel like we belong when we're able to swap those stories with people. And what I would love is for people to start to recognize how toxic that truly is, mm-hmm. and how it's not helping them live a healthy, happy life that they enjoy in any way, and to set them up to go live that life that they will enjoy.
Well, and connecting that to the small business owner, it's the same sort of badge of the small business owner of I work 80 hours a week and I don't sleep and I don't. And that's why I'm such a great small business owner. It's like, really? That's how you want to design your business?
Because really? Who wants to work that long? No one wants to do that. You're going to trade your health for wealth. Yeah. And then when you have the wealth, you're going to spend it all trying to get your health back. Like, it's also not healthy.
Not a long-term mentality. So what's coming next for you as you continue on this journey? And again, I know you've just gone through the rebrand. You just had the retreat this year. All of this is going on. But what's coming next into 2021?
So the next few things we're really focused on, we just did the rebrand. So really focusing on establishing the impact guide, Stephanie, the impact guide. But we are also working on stabilizing and then launching a couple of new events. So what we've done in the past with Grow Disrupt, which is my company, we've always other than the Grow Retreat's like the one event that we've done every year. And we change up the theme and we change up the speakers to make it interesting, which is why we have so many people come back year after year. But in the past, what we've always done is we've designed an event, we put it on, and then we went and designed another event, we put it on. And what we're doing now is we're focused on creating events that are like the Grow Retreat that have certain things. So for example, we've got the Workcation we did last year. We're doing it again this year. And it's basically a luxury 2.5-day vacation at some kind of castle, mountain, chalet, mansion with a celebrity entrepreneur, where you're spending 2 days being fed and pampered by a private chef, talking and hanging out at this mansion with this celebrity entrepreneur and working on your business. So it's a vacation that you get to work on. So we get to tap in. You talk about psychology again, right? You get to tap into those creative juices and unveil those little ways to level up the business. So we're doing that one again this year. We have another conference that we're gonna put off one more year. Fairly large event. So just for the sake of being able to get 500 people in a room all together, we're gonna wait, but that's going to be another one that's going to be a reoccurring. We're going to do it again and again. So that's really our focus right now, is setting up these reoccurring events and stabilizing and kicking them off.
Awesome. So you can follow Stephanie on Twitter as Success Steph, or you can find out more about her and some of the things she's doing over on her website as thestephanieschellar.com. If you want more information on the Grow Conference or some of these other events that we've been talking about, you can find out more about those at thegrowretreat.com. Of course, I'll have links to all of that over in the show notes. Stephanie, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listener?
I think that the biggest thing I would share with you guys is to keep in mind that when you get to where you're going, you will only be more of who you already are. And so whoever you are today, whether that is someone who gives back to their community and shares and supports, whether that is someone who is healthy and happy or someone who is miserable, you can make $1 million a year, take home pay, post taxes, and still be miserable. So start building yourself into the person you want to be starting today. Small changes are sustainable, but when you get there, you're just going to be more of who you are today. So make today that person who you want to be now. That'd be it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.